Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Sad hoes waiting, humming, my nerd, sounding, do it, ride it, my pony, sad.
I sound like somebody that should be arrested. You guys, hi, part two of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, episode 53. This is entitled because, of course, we are listening to the one and only Pony by Genuine. Now, of course, this is part two of this episode. Like I just said, part one came out this morning and it had Faces by Bravo. It's going to get you set for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion tonight. I am Team Denise. He is Team Rinna, Faces by Bravo. And we take you through the whole shebang. Plus, my parents are back in action on episode one. They really come through with an actual good interview. My dad admits to doing heroin, so if that's not a tease, I don't know what else we can do for you. I mean, let me explain how this works a little bit. I finished this episode, last night's episode, around 4 a.m., and it's 8:30 a.m. right now. I was literally having a dream about the podcast and then just figured I need to wake up and finish this thing. The dream was so weird, you guys. It was quarantine time, and I was trying to finish the podcast. So I went to a hotel that I couldn't afford and I passed out. Do you guys know when you have dreams? Like, this is so fresh in my mind. When you have dreams and you're like, oh, I totally remember that dream perfectly. And then you start telling it and you're like, wait, I don't know what. I just remember I woke up in a fancy hotel and was like, oh my God, did the podcast come out? And then Danica Dow from Vanderpump Rules was there. She came in, but she came in from the back area and she had like a pile of new clothes and I didn't know if those were for me or not. Oh my God, I don't even know why I'm allowed to walk around the streets. The clothes were for me and I realized that I still had to finish part two and I was like, the peace and quiet of this hotel room is being disrupted. I was like, when? And then all of a sudden I saw like my bag had been gone through and I was like, oh my God, is my ex here? I think my ex popped in and I was like, I wasn't even drinking and I don't remember any of this. And then, so Danica was there and then somebody says, my friend Janet, who's been on the show, says that you and Danica made out. And I'm like, what? I have no recollection of that. And then her ex-boyfriend, Brett, who they just had their entanglement thing, he was there. And I'm like, oh, my God, is Brett going to know that? What is going on? And they came from a concert, which I was like, how are concerts even happening? We're in quarantine. I don't understand any of this. And then I'm just like, all of a sudden, a bunch of people come in. And I'm just sitting there trying to, like, untangle my equipment wires because they always get tangled up. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. I just got to finish part two. And then all of a sudden, somebody starts rubbing my back and like massaging me and it's Madonna. Madonna's rubbing my back and Madonna's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm staring out at these people and like, it's like Danica, DJ James Kennedy is all of a sudden come, Raquel. they tell me Brittany was there the night before and I was making her laugh. And I was like, Brittany, how did anybody get invited to this? And all of a sudden I was like, oh, are you going to tell me that asshole Jax was here? And then all of a sudden I look to the right. Jax is right there. And he's like, what? And I go, I'm totally joking. I knew you were there the whole time. I was just, I said, that's kind of my humor. It's not, it doesn't all land. And I wish I could tell you I'm making this up. This was my dream. And then I, like, then it was like such light sleep, though, that I realized I had to pee. And then I was like, okay, I have to pee and start the podcast. And so I'm awake again, you guys. I got to finish part two. How this works, part one was all that good stuff, the interviews and all that stuff. Part two, we're going to do a lyric breakdown of that song Pony for my friend Kay, Gold Half Moon Co. on the Etsy store. You guys know Kay. We're going to do a breakdown of that for her because she's at that level on my Patreon that you get good things like me breaking lyrically that song down. Also, then you're going to get a recap of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last week's season finale to get you in the mood for tonight's, wow, part one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. And you've probably seen a couple clips and you already know it's good. It's going to be frustrating to wait in between weeks to see all of, you know, just to wait. I hate the waiting of all of this. Of course, we left you with the news last night that Lala and Randall are pregnant. It was fun to watch everybody catch up to that news. I was looking at that this morning. I love seeing all the meme accounts and their takes on it. Yeah, follow me on Instagram if you don't. So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Let's see. So, yeah, my whole point is the other recaps, Below Deck Med, Real Housewives of Potomac, and Real Housewives of New York are going to be over on the Patreon. So I think it's worth it, you guys. Help me out. Not help me out. I think it's a service to both of us. But check out the Patreon. Try it out for a month. Try the first month out. See if you like it. There's going to be a lot of content over there as we keep going with this. I think there's over 25 episodes of some sort over there. So I think that is really well worth it. So really consider it. You know, maybe the Patreon's a great thing just to listen to, you know, gather the family around by a fireplace and just listen to the Patreon. I still have to wake up. I do need to say up top, I want to say thank you to my partner in crime, Maritza Lopez. Maritza does all my digital images, and she's just a real artistic companion in the sense that I get to really bounce some really silly ideas off her. She's hysterical herself. She does so many great images for me. This week, we did a face-off image where we compared Chloe's face, her digital face and her real face, which I just love because that old movie Face Off. We did an Unsolved Mysteries, Michael Darby and Ashley. Why are they together? That's an unsolved mystery to me. And, you know, we're always thinking of new things. So if you guys need beautiful images like she makes, just shout at her on Instagram. DM her at Maritza, MARITZA.GIF. I know a couple people have reached out to her, and that's really exciting. That's so cool. So if you need a cool image for something, reach out to her, and I think she'd be happy to do it. But I really believe in her work so much. So, yeah, really, really, really strongly suggest that. Oh, my God. Somebody just left a wild comment on these comments, you guys. As the Instagram grows, it just seems like it sometimes brings out the crazy. Let's see, this comment goes, go to www.vaccine.guide to read full vaccine inserts. None of them have ever been tested for carcinogenicity, mutagenicity, or infertility. This is real. At Lala Kent, at Randall Emmett, at Stassi Schroeder, at the good, oh great, at the good, the bad, the bogey. Go see what at Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing for children's health. Oh my God. Is this an anti-vaxxer thing? Especially in tyrannical California. Light to you all. Like, what? And then you go to her profile, this girl, and it says, you must be 21 years or older to see this profile. What is this? Oh, man. I don't know. Should I just delete the comment or do I leave the comment? This is what I struggle with things like this now. Like I used to just be like, how do I pay my bills? Now it's how do I pay my bills and do I leave comments like this up? Like, or do I just delete the comment because I just don't want to? And this is a person that doesn't even follow me. I don't understand people. Oh, God. I don't want to. I'm going to delete. Okay. So, you guys, you ready to have fun? You ready to break down this song, Pony? One sec. I did wake up to some other news. Guess what? Dancing with the Stars cast revealed. So Dancing with the Stars season 29 is back in business. And of course, we knew this. We suspected this, but it now confirmed. Selling Sunset's Chrishell Souse joins the cast of Dancing with the Stars. Now, somebody pointed this out to me because of my Patreon recaps where they had a poster, or no, a picture of all the Selling Sunset girls celebrating something. And I suspected it was season 4, but a couple listeners emailed me to say they were celebrating Chrishell making Dancing with the Stars, which makes a lot of sense. I also have to point out that Christine had been posting training dancing photos with Mikey, Erica Jane's creative director, and I think that now in retrospect was her showing the Dancing with the Stars producers, I'm serious, I'm ready. And I kind of, Christine, there was an article about her in the, I think, the New York Times magazine, which is, you know, nothing to shake your head about. But I think Christine has a lot of money to burn. She is very passionate. She really wants to get to that next level. And I think Chrishell is getting the majority of the limelight. So I have to imagine, I don't think I'm speculating too much when I say that's got to be really frustrating for Christine, because Christine really wants it. Chrishell. So it's just really easy. It's really interesting because it really pits that good versus evil in terms of even how the show presents them. I'm not saying Christine's evil, but that's how the show presents her. So it's interesting to see something like this, and I wonder if that really kind of hurt her, you know? Who knew? Who else do we got on Dancing with the Stars? I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I think the casting is usually the most interesting part of it. Who else do we got here? Monica Aldama. Now, Monica, you guys, is the coach from Cheer. So that's insane. I think that's a really interesting choice. She's really intense. I'm not a huge fan of Monica and what she put those kids through a lot of the times. That's just a personal opinion. But, of course, head coach for Navarro. Can't wait to see season 2 of Cheer. I hear they are filming that, actually. This is a wild one, you guys. This is where it's like 2020, man. You just don't quit. Carol Baskin. Carol Baskin, CEO of Big Cat Rescue, star of Tiger King and potential murderer of her husband, is going to be on Dancing with... Why not put OJ in Dancing with the Stars? Carol Baskin will be in that. I mean, what if she wins? Okay, we got Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin Bristow, of course, was the Bachelorette. She used to date that shovel-faced guy, Sean. Okay, whatever. Vernon Davis, 15-year-old NFL veteran for the Washington Redskins. I don't know a lot about him. This is an interesting one. Anne Heche. Now, Anne Heche, the actor. Remember, Anne Heche was one of Ellen DeGeneres' first public girlfriends? And their story kind of ended tragically. There is a whole thing about Anne Heche where she literally lost her mind and was running through the desert and running up to strangers, people's houses. And she was saying she was like Jesus Christ, like totally whacked out of her mind. This was 2 decades ago or something. This is a long time ago, but I swear to God, I'm not making that up. We got Skye Jackson. Skye Jackson has already been named to the Hollywood Reporter's inaugural top 30 stars under 18 list. He is known for the Disney Channel hit series Jesse. Oh, okay. Sure. I love Jesse. Of course, we all know that's the spinoff series of a show called Bunked. So we got that. I always think it's like kind of unfair when you have like younger kids with like better bones in this, you know? I feel like if a younger kid competes in Dancing with the Stars, you should break a leg and let them dance on that. Then we got Justina Mikado, who's a very talented actor. She's the lead in One Day at a Time that used to be on Netflix and is now on Pop TV. We also have Jeannie Mai. Jeannie Mai is the Emmy Award-winning host from The Real. I met her in person once at my acting studio, and she is gorgeous, you guys. Of course, for all you you fans of music, AJ McLean, the guy who likes to shave patterns into his beard. So that's going to be interesting. Ooh, this is a good one. Jesse Metcalf. Is it? No, that's not a good one, but it's just an interesting one. Jesse Metcalf, of course, was shot to fame in the show Desperate Housewives and has gone on. Oh, my God, you guys. Nelly. Nelly's going to be in it. Nelly, wow. That's huge, Nelly. Who knew? Nelly. That shocked me. I wonder if he's going to wear a... Remember when Nelly used to wear a Band-Aid on his face as part of his whole bit? That's cute. Then Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley is another basketball player. And then this is another interesting one. Nev Schulman. Nev Schulman is, of course, the producer, photographer, and TV host of the show Catfish. Catfish. Of course, Chrishell, and then Johnny Weir. Johnny Weir, of course, is a pop culture phenomenon. He's a superstar of figure skating. I think that's that's another one that I think is completely unfair. Why put him in it? He's way too talented at movement. Like, I feel like that really stacks the deck. I don't get when they do things like that. It's like people that go to karaoke that are always like already like amazing and they just live for karaoke. It's like they should only let bad singers at karaoke or singers that like he might be good tonight or he might be horrible. That's the karaoke I want to watch. I don't want to watch the karaoke where it's like, oh, that's so sad. Like, this is like your thing. Sorry, I know that's a lot of people's things. I do know that. I'm only bagging on it because I'm extremely scared of karaoke. I've sang karaoke once in my life, and it's one of, for some reason, I'd rather public speak than karaoke. Like, karaoke scares the shit out of me. So Dancing with the Stars, will you be tuning in? I think that's going to be an interesting thing. I also think that song by Genuine, Pony, is extremely interesting. What is that song about, you guys? Also, a fun fact, Maritza, who I was just talking about, she told me Genuine's real name is Elgin Lumpkin. E-L-G-I-N Lumpkin. Elgin Lumpkin. Think about if you had a name called Elgin Lumpkin. Whew. Elgin Lumpkin. My name's Elgin Lumpkin, and this is Pony. Like, if you had Pony by Elgin Lumpkin, it would make you feel creeped out by listening to the song even more. But Pony by Genuine, that kind of fits, you know? So let's do this. You know, I think you guys know if you listen to the podcast, I do have a gift given, I'm presuming, from God, who gives all things gifts. And also Genuine, I'm looking at a picture of him, and he is from the video, and he's making the weirdest face. Genuine has a weird noggin. So I do break down lyrics. Let's see what this one means. Let's see if we can surprise people with the meaning of this song, because I think a lot of times a lot of people will think, oh, I know what the song is about, and then I will lyrically break it down and it's just not it. It's not what. So Pony, already I'm thinking, hey, this is a song about either a pony that's turning into a mare or a horse, like, you know, it's a pony going through you know, a coming of age moment, you know, when a pony turns into a full blown horse. So that's what I think immediately when I hear the word pony. But okay, but let's see what it actually is about when we go to the lyrics. It goes, I'm just a bachelor, I'm looking for a partner. Now that's cool, because this is somebody that's like, I'm done with the plan. I need to build a life with someone. This is somebody that obviously has just torn up towns, just sleeping with people, not calling them back, you know, what we call ghosting kids, just a lot of, not ghosting kids, but ghosting comma kids, like, hey kids, he's been ghosting. So he's saying like, hey, it's time. Like, Elgin, I'm ready to settle down. I need to find somebody to walk through this life with. And I think that's so important. And I also don't want to say that's the only way, because a lot of people can walk through this world alone. And that's honestly just as good of a way to walk through this world. But this guy is like, I want to walk through this world with somebody. So this is somebody in search. And he's in what I imagine to be an RV camper. And he's going from town to town looking for a partner. He's really serious about this, because he lives in the Sacramento area. And he's just like, I'm not going to find it in Sacramento. So he's off on a world tour to find a partner. And the next one goes, someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. And this is like, what, it's so cool, because this is a guy that's also like, I'm passionate about horse riding. I love it. I need whoever I'm with in this world to not just love horse riding, but be good at it. I want somebody that's going to ride that's never going to fall off. And, you know, he's tried in the past, you know, tying girls to the horse and it just never works. So he needs somebody with good abs, good balance, because he wants to go fast on the horse. Because that's part of it. It's not just like little gallop. He wants to gallop. He wants to canter, you know? And then it goes, got to be compatible, take me to my limits, which is, that's just also a deeper meaning of relationships. He's also saying, of course, I want to take it to the limits of like horse riding, but also take it to the limits of what we can do as people, how we can push each other to be better people, more emotional people. Like, how do we touch each other's souls? Like, how do we have sexy time with just our minds, you know? And then it says, girl, when I break you off, I promise that you won't want to get off. And what he's saying is that, like, when I break you off with some of these ideas I have in my mind about how the world works, you're going to be like, I want to ride those ideas all night long. I want to ride that mind of yours all night long, and vice versa. And that's what's so exciting about relationships. And I love what he's done here is compared it to horse riding, because it is about horse riding, but it's also about being sexy with our minds, you know? Have you ever done that? Just like, with all you guys in quarantine, if you're with your significant others, say, hey, it's been 6 months. Would you mind if I got sexy with my mind today with you? Would you want to get sexy with your mind with me? You always got to ask if you want to be sexy with each other's minds. It's always got to be an ass thing. And then it goes, if you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. Whoa. Okay. That's interesting. I didn't see it going there. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. Oh. Okay, I see what he's doing. So he's saying if you're mind horny, if you're horny for ideas, let's get the ideas going. Ride it. Jump on my pony, which is, of course, we establish his brain. He goes, my saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. And I imagine he's pointing to his head. He goes, my saddle's waiting. Hop on this head of ideas. Come and jump on it. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. And I think it's just so brave of any man or woman to say, hey, I'm starved for intellectual ideas. I'm starved for intellectualism. I'm starved for good conversation. And that's what this dude's doing. It's so brave. And that's what I think kind of he's a little coward, because he could just say I'm starved for ideas, but he's using the whole pony thing as like a metaphor. And I think you can just come out and say it sometimes. But I think this is a huge step for Genuine or Elgin as it is. Then he goes, sitting here flossing, peeping your stilo. Now, stilo, of course, I believe is a horse riding tool of some sort. I think it's that, it's like the boots, you know? So he's flossing his teeth. He's looking at her shoes. And it goes, just once, if I have the chance, the things I would to you. You and your body, every single portion, sends chills up and down your juices flowing down your thigh. What the fuck is this? What? Wait a sec. If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and if we're going to get nasty, baby, first we'll show and tell. Till I reach your ponytail. Lurk all over and through you, baby, until we reach the stream. You'll be on my jockey team. Oh my God, you guys. This is about fucking. Oh my God, he's talking about having sex. This isn't about minds at all. Do DC, they throw the best damn party. New York, they throw the best damn party. VA, they throw the best damn party. I'm about to wreck your body and say, turn the party out. Yo, G. Yo, what's up, Rob? What's up, Genuine? Chillin', dog. Bunch of honeys in this place. Nah, not like it, man. Yo, man, what's up with you, boy? What is this? I know, man. I'm just chillin', man. I'm on know about all this shit. I know. What's up, boy? You looking for that one girl, right? Yep, trying to get that one. Is this even part? I think this... Is this like a sketch afterwards? I don't know what that part is. I just looked up pony lyrics, and then it has all this like monologue of like, and then I'm going to go talk to Tisha Campbell. You know what we're going to do? This is what we're going to do. We're going to slam these right here. Where's she at? And you're going to go, wow. So I'm so sorry, you guys. If families are listening, I feel so horrible saying that's about mind connection, when that's really about, you know, that's straight up sex, I think. He's talking about things dribbling down legs and, yeah. I'm so sorry, Kay. I know you would not never have chosen a song that was that dirty. So that I hate if, and if I'm the one that has, God, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Like, you guys, if you've liked that song your whole life and you just found out that was about sex, I imagine you're probably going to have a pretty bad day. And I'm so, so sorry. The only thing I can do, I feel like, to make it better is to recap a little show called Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I really have to find a better way to record these. I'm laying in the bunk bed again, and I won't be in the bunk bed next week, but I just got to find a better use of my time. So this episode is called Denise and Desist. Very clever. So yeah, what a season it's been, you guys. It has given us so many great moments. Of course, Beverly Hills really seems to love to make a mountain out of a molehill, and they keep making these issues bigger and bigger and bigger, and I think that's what we've gotten stuck in with the Denise stuff. But fortunately, the Denise stuff is actually just more entertaining than Lucy Applejuice. So it turned out to be a way better season, but it's almost in spite of everything, it turned out to be a good season. Plus, the production team really, hats off, they really, really went above and beyond this year to make sure something was happening. And I really do, I think you got to give them credit for that. They really leapt at making things happen. They put a cattle prod to Erica Jane. Dorit stepped up. Teddy still boring as fuck. I mean, it's awesome. So, okay. Remember how the season started at the very end with Kyle saying, we were all so happy. It was hard to imagine how terrible things would become. It's just so amazing. So we start off this episode of the season finale with Kyle talking to Jordan, who is Sutton's store director at her store. Sutton! I gotta go inside that place. They are really going all out in fashion, these ladies. And Sutton's like, I really love you, and I would love to carry your line in my boutique. My line, and Kyle's like, my line is not couture, but her clients might like Yacht Rock. And she's like, I made a Yacht Rock joke. Because remember earlier in the season, Sutton had no clue what Yacht Rock is. And Kyle just likes those. I think they're called caftans. Guys, ladies, I'm so sorry. I really, fashion for me, I've told you time and time again, it's just a blind spot for me. I don't know what I'm doing with fashion. So please forgive me when it comes to that kind of stuff. But yeah, she's like, you know, I'll let you put your caftan shit, your yacht shit, and I'll do a little window for you. And that's like a huge thing for somebody like Sutton, I imagine, who spends so much money on clothes to kind of give you a thumbs up or to like vouch for you. I think it's huge for Kyle. So that's a huge win for her. We go to Garcelle. You know, she is ready to film, guys. This thing that she's producing, she's finally found the director. They're ready to go. Split Marriage is going to, I predict, this movie called Split Marriage is going to be bigger than Avatar. It's huge, you guys. It's going to be bigger than Kyle Richards in Halloween. This is what we're talking about. I think in reality, it's going to be a Lifetime movie, but they're acting like it is all the Godfathers combined. Everybody's like, let's make a kick-ass movie. And now we're to PK and Dorit and their party planner, Nick. I love that we get the names of all these people. Like, I will, if I ever have a party planner, it'll be my mom. She has a creepy puppet at the front door that looks like, have you ever seen that movie The Game where Michael Douglas stares in this puppet's eye and like the puppet like is videotaping him? That's what this puppet looks like. It's a creepy puppet, and I imagine PK doing weird things to it when nobody's around. So they're throwing a housewarming, sorry PK if you're listening, they're throwing a housewarming party, and we've dealt with a lot of BS in the past, Dorit lets us know. But she's like, with this house, the kids are able to enjoy every single space in this house. They even have an inside slide, you guys. When I was a kid, I would have killed for an inside slide. And then Dorit's like, why is everybody so fixated? You know, this isn't the real tax returns of Beverly Hills. I'm C3. I'm Dorit PPO. Dorit DPO. I'm Dorit PPO. Dorit says her and Rinna have buried the hatchet. And now she's one of her best friends. So she really believes that people can get through anything. And I think that's a very positive notion. And I think that's why Dorit had the season she did. Dorit is explaining to PK the situation. And I got to tell you guys, PK, though, I get that PK is an older man. I don't care about that part. What I care about is Dorit dressing him like he's streetwear. I find it weird. I like his clothes personally, and I think I could pull them off a hair better than PK, but he has these like colorful stripes on his pants. He's like, hello, I'm PK. Let's go play basketball down the alleyway. It's just weird. And they're talking, and Dorit's like, you have to finish. Let me finish a thought, PK. And he goes, I'm a great listener. If I respect the person I'm listening to, it can't be a 10-minute speech. And, you know, PK's like, don't bring me into it. He's wearing Timberland boots. He's like, I only want to be involved if somebody's attacking you. It's cute, though. I got to say, it's not as annoying as PK usually has been. PK has really done a turnaround this season as well. Dorit says, it's not about you, and we'll keep it that way. And then the producers put up the word Friday on screen. So you know two things, that it's Friday. That's an interesting thing. And secondly, they start this kind of thing where they're like putting timestamps up on the screen, and I love that. It's very exciting. Makes my nipples totally hard. Sorry, guys. So now Lisa and Teddy are having coffee, and they call Erica, who's in the theater. Erica, of course, is a theater actor now. Erica says she's walking to work with a backpack, and you know you've really made it when you see your face on a trash can, because they have Chicago ads there. And I think that's a nice little moment. Teddy goes, you left town at the right point, because she's referring to Denise and she's lame as hell. Rena says, clearly Denise has not been honest, you guys. She goes, I'm torn because I would like to be a good friend and I'd like to be a great friend. But maybe I have been a great friend and she hasn't been a great friend. Like, Rena, what's going on in your life, Rena? Like, really, what's going on with you? Like, what's going... Have you learned any new dance moves? Like, this is getting so old. Like, you talking about yourself being a great friend, a good friend, a whatever friend. Who cares? Literally, who cares? Who cares? So we're now already... Oh, yeah, then Rena goes, sometimes you have to sleep in that bed. She's talking about Denise, like, you know, sometimes you have to sleep in that bed, and sometimes that bed is full of knives and snakes. Oh, chill out, Rena. Take a Xanax. So now we're the night of the party. PK comes out in a hideous sports jacket. They're all getting ready. And Dorit's like, maybe not tonight or ever. Kyle is getting glammed. She's like, I just imagine her glam team. She always just goes, Casey Musgraves, please make me look like Casey Musgraves. And they're like, we'll do our best. Rena is trying on one of her wigs, and she's like, hey, what are we going to name her? She names all of her wig characters. It's just, it's a lot, you guys. It's getting old for me. I don't know if it's getting old for you. Denise, you know, Rena has character names when she puts on wigs. Yay, you know? Yay. Garcelle is getting glam. She lets us know that she's going to pick up Denise. Teddy is with her boring kids. No, I'm sorry. I meant Teddy is boring and her kids are there. So now we're at Dorit's house, and this is amazing. This is my favorite moment of the show. This like guy comes out with like a handlebar mustache and like looks like he's from a Renaissance fair. He's like, I'm Renee, your pyro guy. And she's like, you're here to light the candles? And he's like, yeah. Could you imagine having a pyro guy? Like, that's the dream. That's like the top of the mountain for me. Lisa comes into the party, and PK's like, hey, Lisa, I want you to take something. Oh, I want you to say something. It's non-alcoholic champagne, huh? Huh? Taste it, huh? Tastes just like champagne, huh? Huh? I'm going to sell it. PK is going to sell non-alcoholic champagne, I guess. Like, I think that's, I'm all for people not drinking, but like, do you really want to be reminded of the taste of alcohol? Like, just drink a soda or something, you know? Like, why do we have to do this to ourselves? And Lisa goes, I'm not going to do that. It's like sex without an orgasm. What's the point? Have water. And then she does one of her, so funny. Just laughs at her own jokes and talking heads. It's like, it's like Heath Ledger would be like, oh, my God. Heath Ledger literally got some of his Joker stuff from Lisa Rinna.
Rest in peace, Heath. They are telling Dorit. They're talking about Dorit's room and Teddy and Lee. They're like, it's good. It's great. Yeah. Kyle comes in. Mauricio comes in. You can tell Mauricio is already stoned. Faye Resnick, Kyle's friend, is with her. That's amazing. Rinna is like complimenting people's hair, and people are complimenting Rinna's wig. And she's talking to Faye, and Faye's like, our husbands can have girlfriends now, referring to when they put on wigs. It means like, which is such a dark, I mean, I know it's like a one-off flippant joke, but it's like, you're literally saying like, yeah, our husbands totally want to fuck other girls, and it's thank God we have wigs. And Lisa goes, Heidi's very sexual, you know, Heidi, that's who she is with the wig. And she's like, one of my wigs works at Starbucks. Whoo, imagine. Sutton comes in, passes by the no alcoholic champagne. She's like, nope. She sent Dorit a housewarming gift. Of course she did, because she's so amazing. Also, I saw, what's her name? Just like there was a casual shot of Adrienne Maloof walking in, just like a really tiny shot. That was odd, but I was glad to see her there. So now Garcelle is outside Denise's hotel room. I don't know why she's in a hotel room, though. That is weird. She is talking to Chocolate Michael. Remember, she calls her boyfriend Chocolate Michael. They're talking about chicken. And he goes, you get real animated talking about chicken. And she's like, oh, yeah, you think I'm animated? Let's talk diamonds. He's like, you want to talk diamonds, baby? She's like, yeah, let's talk diamonds. He's like, how many carats? She goes, I would never say. So she goes, oh, it's just a gesture. And she goes, no, I wouldn't say that. So it's like, man, sexy diamond talk, you guys. She lets us know she didn't have sex for 7 years after her divorce. Think about that. Think about that. That's for such a beautiful lady. That's crazy. I mean, I was just hats off, Garcelle. I mean, not pants off, obviously, but hats off. She goes, so now we're at the party. Everybody's gathered around, and PK's, my wife's got something to say here. Speech. And Dorit's like, we thank everybody for being here. And Phoenix goes, why are you being so loud, mommy? Whisper it. Phoenix is a little star in the making. We all see it. I'm not even joking. I think Phoenix really is a star in the making. And she goes, mommy teaches them well. We get introduced to Simon Winthrop, a mentalist, an illusionist that steals Teddy's ring. The most exciting thing that's been attached to Teddy in a while is just that whole bit. You tell Mauricio's like, whoa, oh my God, I'm so high right now. Oh my God, this is amazing. Mauricio's just dumbfounded. Garcelle is saying, you know, Denise isn't there. She comes into the party, tells everybody that Denise isn't going to be in there. Rinna, if you freeze frame on Rinna's face, which I do because I'm a nerd, she looks completely crestfallen, like her scene partner didn't come. She was like, I was supposed to have a scene with Denise tonight, and now I can't have it. I need that attention. I can't get that attention tonight. I am going to have to dance extra hard on Instagram later. They're like, we should check our phones to see if Denise called. Denise ain't calling you guys. Denise doesn't consider you guys real friends, weirdos. Teddy and Kyle says they thought this was happen. And then Dorit's like, Garcelle, you missed the magic. Rinna shows Dorit the text exchange from Denise the night before. Everybody loves to show Denise's text messages. Like, Denise, it's like, girl, run. Do not text anybody anymore. Don't text these losers. They're just like, I'll show you what we talked about. And they just had a very casual conversation about what they were going to wear. And then she's on to Dorit. Rinna goes, maybe she turned her phone off, or maybe she blocked you. It's like, Rinna, why would you put that in somebody's mind? You're leading the witness, you know? Dorit says, I thought I was supportive to Denise. Dorit goes, I just called Aaron. I love that Dorit has Aaron's number. Can you imagine? Like, Aaron, this is Dorit. Sorry to use the number you gave me, but I was wondering if Denise was in your purview. Garcelle says, I'm there for your honor, and I respect that. Garcelle says, if I'm there for you, honor and respect that. She's talking about Denise, talking about, like, showing up for you. But she tells the other ladies, she's like, she thought Brandy was going to be here, you know. Was Brandy invited? And everybody's like, Dorit goes, of course not. And you can see Kyle's face, like, twinges a little bit And you can tell. And then all of a sudden, Kyle goes, there's lasagna, guys. We got to eat this lasagna. And Rinna, of course, is being like jumping on anything. She goes, ah, lasagna. Rinna has not eaten lasagna in, I would imagine, decades. She never misses a chance to be agreeable and just overly loud, just like me. Michael is wandering around the party, Chocolate Michael. And then Garcelle's Michael is talking to Sutton's Michael and tells Sutton's Michael that they talked about rings in the limo. And Chocolate Michael's like, yeah, we're at that point. We're at the ring point. And Sutton's Michael's like, congratulations, buddy. Congratulations. That's amazing, buddy. Like real like guy on guy hours there, you know, like just that's like dudes being dudes of like, hey, we also take care of ladies, you know. So Dorit says she got a call from Camille last night and she heard that they got together. This is weird. So it's like all of a sudden, like, and then all of a sudden we see a camera of Denise at, Camille's. It's just weird. Kyle's like, someone saw them together the night before. It's like, Kyle, who saw them together the night before? You mean production saw them together? Of course, because there's filming of it. Of course that you heard they were together. That's so, it's such a weird lie, I think. Rinna goes, why would Denise want to reach out to Camille? It's, I guess, imagine, Rinna, it's the same way you try to manipulate every situation to make you look good. She's trying to just protect herself, maybe, or maybe the show had her do it. And then Lisa goes, in a talking head, you can manipulate Camille with a blindfold all on and a ball in her mouth. What does that even mean? You can manipulate Camille like in sexual S&M. You can manipulate Camille with a blindfold on and a ball in your mouth. A ball in her mouth. It's just so weird. And then all of a sudden Garcelle goes, is that Brandy? And everyone acts like they didn't know Brandy was coming. They're like, oh, and Brandy's like, hey, full face of makeup, full clothes, just like ready to rock. Dorit comes up and she's like, I'm so surprised. And we see Kim. She's with Kim Richards. And she's like, Kim, I didn't know this was your plus one. And she goes, hey, you know, never mind the problems with Brandy. I have problems. Never mind the problems with Denise. I actually have problems with her. This is like only the third time that Dorit has like seen, you know, Brandy. Also, so that's all weird. And then also Kim, Kyle is complimenting Kim's new boobs. And Kim's like, Mauricio, touch him. Touch the boobs. Touch them. And Mauricio's like, fuck, I'm high. Should I touch them? Like, what? He's like, should I touch? He's like looking at Kyle. Should I touch your sister's boob? I mean, that potentially could be the darkest moment of the entire season. And nobody's talking about it. I mean, that the Richards family, you gotta like, they're boob touching. They're having sex at dinner tables. Remember when Kyle said that a couple episodes ago with people at the table? Like, it's wild. So Sutton is talking to Brandy and she goes, you're the topic of combo. You guys just need to work this out. Honestly, honestly, this is too much. And then Sutton goes, you know, of course I know Brandy a little bit because we go to the same skincare specialist, which Sutton, you look great. Brandy, maybe Brandy hasn't gone in a while. I don't know. I don't want alcohol. It can wreck the skin. And then so this breaks my heart. Sutton in a talking head goes, obviously, no one's going to say they. She goes, she's talking about Denise and Brandy, the rumor. She goes, obviously, no one's going to say they slept with me. Look at me. And at first, I thought she was like saying, like, kind of bragging about herself. Then I realized she was saying she wasn't pretty enough to have rumors. And I'm like, girl, you are what you're more attractive to Brandy than Brandy to me. Like, I really, that made me so sad. I think Sutton's a really beautiful lady, and I'm not, there's no shade, no joke. I think she, and the more I get to know her on the show, the more I find her attractive. What if I'm, and I love her. Brandy tells Dorit she sent Denise a text saying that she would be here. So Denise did know about Brandy coming. So that actually kind of holds more water about why she's not there. Mauricio and PK are talking, and you know, Mauricio's like, great house, but kind of like half-heartedly, because Mauricio, of course, is, you know, a lead agent at the agency that sells houses, and he sees the best of the best, and it's like he's like, yeah, this is a great property. And PK goes, I've had a lot of great property in my life, you know, so this is good. And you can just tell PK is like, I mean, I just feel like he's had a lot of gambling issues, so he's lucky to have like a house, and you can tell he knows that. what's this line? First you make me a cheater and now you make me a liar. Oh, he's talking about Brandy. Oh, also, that was something that Sutton said to Brandy that I loved in that previous. Sutton goes to Brandy, maybe one day, you know, you can learn not to say stuff, which is just so brilliant. And Brandy goes, honey, not happening. And it's like, Brandy, you really should consider that. I really feel like she thinks she's going to be celebrated for her behavior like this. And in the end of the day, you're not. And I'm just shocked she hasn't learned that by now. It just makes her look bad in a weird way and kind of tacky. You know, it just is. It's kind of tacky. I think it's tackiness. I really think it's so gross, her behavior when she does stuff like this. Even if she has slept with Denise, which I'm pretty sure she has, but it's like, I don't know. Nobody's making you a liar. I think when it comes to sex, we realize people are like kind of not even demure, but you don't go run around like saying who you've slept with. And, you know, I don't know. It was kind of gross. So I love when Sutton said that. And, you know, Brandy's then talking to Garcelle. Garcelle says, I don't want to see her text. I want to hear it from Denise. I choose to believe her because she's my friend, which I thought was just really nice. You know, Garcelle kind of also knowing that probably what did happen. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to believe my friend still. Dorit, they all realize that Denise isn't going to be there. So they're kind of scrambling. They're like, Dorit's like, let's do the tradition from the Fountain of Trevi with the ice cubes. And I think they think this is going to be the last scene of the whole season. So they're all trying to like put on a happy face of like, give them the old razzle dazzle. And they're throwing ice cubes into a pool. Like they've cleared out the party. It's like, okay, cool. And 15 minutes later, it says, they put the text up 15 minutes later. Garcelle is talking to a producer in the car with Chocolate Michael. And the producer goes, we got a text from Aaron. There was a family emergency and we have to bail. Producer tells Garcelle, you defended her and she bailed on you. It's ridiculous. The producer shouldn't be saying that. That's like leading the witness again. That's like getting Garcelle to say it's ridiculous. That's not right. Like that's weird to me. And I love that they put it in there, but it's weird. So now we're in a separate scene, new scene. Rinna's at a bar meeting Garcelle and Dorit for a Christmas drink. Rinna's wearing a doctor's jacket with a Burberry logo on it. It's weird. They're talking about Christmas plants. Dorit comes in. All the ladies are wearing logos. It's like when I wear Old Navy, I like to make sure everybody sees the Old Navy logo. I wish Old Navy would put more logos on their clothes and not just like the American flag shirts they do at the 4th of July, but I'm talking like all, I want people to know I wear Old Navy. I'm telling you, man, if I can ever get, oh my God, somebody actually, as I just said that, DM'd me about Old Navy. That's insane. Wow. That person must have psychic abilities. Anyways, they're talking, you know, Garcelle says she talked to Denise, and Denise said she didn't want to come there because she didn't want Garcelle to lie for me. There wasn't a family emergency. Garcelle tried to hang out with her again, and she bailed on her again. Rinna says, why wouldn't she reach out to me, I wonder? Because you're horrible, Rinna. You guys aren't friends. You've established you're a shithead towards her. Why would you ever consider her to reach out to you? We have a flashback to Garcelle talking to Rinna and says she believes you're the bad guy in this movie. Dorit is there. She's like, Dorit goes, is she going to be doing press for the movies and control this narrative? Like, Denise, it's been a while since Denise has been in a film where she's done press for. Usually press is done for big films, and Denise just doesn't work in big films anymore, and that's no shade to her. It's just that's how it works. So it's cute when Dorit's like, will she do press junkets about this? And Rinna, this is when Rinna does, like, detective work. She's like, Denise posted a sympathy post. Why post that after the party? Because she posted a picture of her in the hospital bed. I couldn't show up to the party because I was recovering it, and it worked like a charm. She goes, she was married to Charlie Sheen. She fought him in the press for 14 years with 14 different lawyers. We will all be the bad guys, the mean girls. If you don't think she's capable of this, you're crazy. Calm down, Lisa. So the next day, January 8th, she sent a cease and desist letter to everybody. So Kyle's talking to Rinna on the phone, and she goes, if you ask me, we'll never see Denise Richards again. Kyle says she's scared to show us who she is. Rinna goes, I know, it's sad. And then we get the text up that says, 2 weeks later, guys, Denise calling Aaron in a car. Do you mind if I stop by Rinna's house on the way home? And he's like, 5G towers, the government, is Big Pharma following you? Make sure you check for Big Pharma. And he's like, I got a big old wiener. It's a flashback of then Denise calling Rinna, and she goes, Lisa, and she goes, Denise, and she's like, can I come over on the way home? She goes, you can come here if you have an open mind and an open heart, and then I'll talk to you. And it's like, girl, you don't need to put conditions on it. You're lucky to be doing a scene with her. Give me a break. And Denise immediately fires back, I'm not coming to you for a therapy session. I'm coming to you as a friend. I love that. And she's like, I'm not beating you over the head. Well, and then Rinna goes, well, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. And then we're back to the car. Aaron goes, go and ask her why she doesn't treat you the way you treat her. So now we're at the door. Rinna gives Denise a huge hug. Like, it's funny. It's like, what? All fuckers are so fake. Also fake. It's so funny. And then Denise is like, thanks for letting me come over. I miss you. And she goes, I miss you too, Denise. She says her name, Denise. So what can we do to move past this? And she goes, did you know Brandy was going to be there? I did know Brandy was going to be there, Denise is saying. And that's why I didn't show up. And Rinna goes, so there wasn't a family emergency? You knew, Rinna, there wasn't a family. Calm your tits. And Lisa goes, you didn't respond to me. And she goes, I responded to Garcelle and Dorit. And Rinna goes, I have a screenshot of the text. Rinna goes, it's a lie. Then she goes, it's not my business. Rinna, the whole fucking show is about you making this your business. This is why I'm so mad at Rinna. This is exactly the same. It's like, what? You say this shit and then you make it your business. It's so bizarre and weird. She brings up the very long text message thread with Brandy and Denise. LOL. She's like, we have a very long text thread. Denise goes, okay. And Denise goes, I will also present text messages from Lisa Rinna. And I don't think either one of them wants me to present their text messages because that's the reality of the situation. Your text messages are private. I think we live in a society nowadays that people just screenshot texts and DMs and just pass those around. I've been in groups of people that happens all the time. It's like, kind of is shitty, you know, and I've done that in the past, you know, and it's always, I think, just weird. So don't screenshot me, you guys. That's basically Rinna. Don't you screenshot me, yo. Okay, so this is like the big moment. This is the big scene, you guys. This is like what we've all, this is the culmination of the entire episode of this, is this scene. It's like when the two leads just show up for the final scene together and you just like sparks are just going everywhere. So what happens is that, they said all that stuff and, she goes, why would I engage with Brandy and talk to her? And she goes, or Lisa says, I really sloppily wrote that note. But Denise basically says, I don't even want to say how I dealt with Brandy. Or I don't even want to say how I dealt with it, but it's been taken care of. And Rinna goes, you sent a cease and desist. It's like chills. And then there's like a small pause and she goes, you want the footage taken out. And Denise goes, who told you that? Another pause. Who told you that? And then a pause. Guys, this scene flies. This scene is so good because of the pauses. And Lisa goes, ooh, you're so angry. And then Denise goes, you're playing dirty. I'm playing dirty. You know, they're like, I'm playing dirty. You're playing dirty. I'm playing dirty. And then Denise goes, there's a lot of combos I don't want to have with our kids. Thank God I have a strong marriage. And then Rinna in a talking says, I'm not going to change the way I feel and neither is she. But it's like, Rinna, you realize this has nothing to do with you. Like Denise could, you know, it's like, also, wouldn't you want the footage taken out? If you were this person and you didn't want this sex storyline in there, you would do what it takes to not have that in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, now this is always a footnote in the Denise Richards story. You know? It's already Charlie Sheen's there, and now this is another footnote. And please, like, that think about the reality of that. Like, Rinna, what do you got? You got, like, some acting, and you got dancing on Instagram. You know? She hasn't really been involved in lots of things, so she's trying to make herself legendary. But Denise, you know, it's hard. So, I don't know. I kind of understand where Denise is coming from on this. But I just find it funny that Rinna has really put herself in the driver's seat in this situation. So all of a sudden, that's the end of that scene. And Rinna goes, listen, I'm here for you if you want me to be. And Denise says, I'm here too. It's hysterical. Like, they end, like, kind of friendly, which is great. I'm kind of excited for next season for that, if both of them come back. Now we're at a private airfield. We find out that Sutton has rented a private plane to go over and see Erika Jayne on Broadway in Chicago. And Teddy, they're like, well, you know, we got to do this. We got a boring pregnant lady with us. And Garcelle didn't come. Denise didn't come. And Lisa goes, who doesn't want to be here on a private jet to go see Erika Jayne in Chicago? If not, you have to work on your life. Rinna, stop telling people how they are and who they are and what they need to be and how their life is. Just worry about Lisa, Rinna. Like, literally, like, next season, I would love for the end title card to be like, Rinna's going to literally shut the fuck up and learn how to live her own life and not just suck off other people's lives. It's just so weird. And even, like, this, her storyline's her daughters. Like, give me a break. What's going on with you, Lisa? I'm getting the sense that Lisa doesn't have a lot of close actual friends. Do you notice we see her mom and her daughter, and, like, we don't see Rinna's close friends, you know? I don't know, just keep that in mind. They go to see Erika Jayne on Broadway. It's a really nice moment. I love that. I really am happy for Erika Jayne. Steven, Faces by Bravo, on part one said, this really could be the wrap-up moment for Erika Jayne. Because Erika Jayne's like, what other great thing am I going to do next? And this really could be the end for her on this show, which I think would be a really, really amazing ending for her. She made it to Broadway, guys. That's huge. You got to understand, I come from an acting background. That really is huge. That's the pinnacle for a lot of actors. It really, really is. It's just really amazing. So we see all the summations of everybody, you know, of course, with Erika Jayne. The pandemic hit, so they had to close Chicago early. She came back to be with Tom. Garcelle goes, I would say to that little girl living in Haiti, don't be scared. There's an invisible net beneath me. We see her and her sons at the Black Lives Matter protests, which I thought was very powerful. I love that they threw that in there. Teddy goes, by being a straight shooter, I have lifelong friendships. Like me or don't, this is who I am. Okay, I don't like you. You're so boring. They show Kyle and Teddy walking in the hills. Kyle is walking 10 feet behind Teddy because they're social distancing, but I think she just doesn't want to be seen with Teddy because, like I said, Teddy's boring. Kyle says, the pandemic really changes your thinking, and then we just see, like, Kyle doing a TikTok dance. We see Denise cutting artichokes. She says, you can be the wild thing and a protective mom at the same time. And this is what I want to say, is that I'm not necessarily Team Denise. I don't find Denise that exciting. Like, but I just really didn't like Rinna, you know? And then, of course, we see Rinna dancing with a broom for Instagram. And she's like, wouldn't we all love to sweep it under the rug? But I'm a truth seeker. I could not listen to that voice. This reminds me such of Kristen Doty when she's like, I just seek out the truth. I need it. And at the very end, we see Dorit, who is actually wearing the crown that we saw her wear in Italy. And Dorit goes, I'm okay being on an island on my own. And she goes, I think this is a group of ladies that are able to look past a disagreement and move forward, always holding out hope. And shows Dorit with her kids and stuff like that. And I thought Dorit really had an amazing season. I was so proud of Dorit. So you guys, that is the recap of this. I hope that gets you pumped up. Like I said, these recaps are like tailgating. You're tailgating for the next episode with this. So I hope you get to listen to this today and it brings you into tonight's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part one. We got two and we'll be recapping that next week. So you guys, if you're a Patreon subscriber, go switch on over to Patreon, girl, guy. Get on over there because you got a lot more. You got recaps of Below Deck Med, Real Housewives of Potomac, and Real Housewives of New York. If you're not a Patreon member, so sad. That's sad. If you're not a Patreon member, it's fine, you guys. There's tons, like I said, there's like, we got over like a 250 hours of content already here for free on iTunes. So go back and listen to past episodes. They're not usually that time specific. So you guys, thank you for listening to part two. Patreon members, thank you even more. Go check all those recaps out. And you guys, we will see you next week. Next week's episode is already so insane. Also, I want to remind you, the prostitution whore has the whore store company. And she does these amazing phone cases, hats. And if you shop with the code SOBADITSGOOD10, you get 10% off of your order. That is so cool. I geek out on stuff like that. That is so cool. So thank you, the prostitution whore, my favorite name on the internet, my favorite name on Instagram. And you guys, I love you. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.